This is the Colonial Department's Extra Credit, a bonus show that provides some nugget-sized tidbits of Philippine colonial history. It's based on the most recent episode, so if you haven't yet, check out Season 5, Episode 10, Off With Their Heads. Then hop on back here for some extra credit. Across human history, head-taking has long persisted as a potent spiritual or martial force. In Nineveh, the Assyrians stacked heads of their enemies under palm trees. Among the Vikings, slaves were decapitated and laid to rest inside the tombs of the elites. During the French Revolution, the guillotine sliced off heads in great public spectacles. During the Rape of Nanjing, beheading became one of the tools of Japanese mass execution against the Chinese populace. In several places in the Philippines, headhunting persisted into the 20th century. Your ancestors and mine likely chopped off a head or two during their lifetimes. And even in the lowlands, where they'd been Christianized for 100 years or more, the ancestral practice of headhunting sometimes still lay very close to the surface, erupting forth in times of great crisis. One famous example happened during the 1762 British invasion of Manila. Because my last episode only tackled headhunting, as experienced by the first conquistadors, I didn't get into this unexpected episode of the Battle of Manila, which happened almost 200 years after Spain began building settlements in the Philippines. Here are three things you need to know about what happened that I had to leave on the cutting room floor. One. 3 days after the British landed in Malate to capture Manila, the Spanish asked for a ceasefire to negotiate the release of an important Spanish hostage captured by the enemy. The British agreed and delivered this hostage, Antonio Tagle, from their ships to the gates of Manila near Bagumbayan Church. Tagle, dressed all in black, was accompanied by a small party of British officers, including one Lieutenant Friar. 2. To facilitate the negotiations and release, the Spanish ceased their artillery bombardment. But the British troops did not, and some of their fusillades raked the positions of Indio defenders. These native troops then attacked Tagle and his party, killing everyone and taking the head of Lieutenant Friar. 3. The commander of the British forces was incensed and demanded that the Spanish return Friar's body. The Spanish agreed, sending the mutilated corpse of the lieutenant back to the British camp along with a letter that put all the blame of the attack and the beheading firmly on the native defenders. 4. And now I leave you with a quote from the chief engineer of the invading British forces, who wrote about the aftermath of Lieutenant Friar's beheading in his personal journal. In the evening, a flag of truce was hung over the walls, no one daring to venture out after such an unparalleled piece of treachery. On our answering the flag, they sent out the headless trunk of Mr. Friar, maimed in the most inhumane manner, with a letter from the governor expressing the utmost horror of such a treacherous act, imputing the fault to the ignorance and barbarity of their natives, who are utterly unacquainted with the customs of war. And that's it. Hope you learned something new today, and check back next week for a new episode of the Colonial Department.